Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of peace, health, egalitarianism, and sustainability. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor its management. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Will Tuttle, who is best known for being the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. Welcome, Will, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. It's great to be able to talk to you again.
Yes.
It's time for us to really pay attention and to, I think, really to wake up about the underlying narrative that is being rolled out and the agenda that's being rolled out, which is very different than what people are aware of, and understand that we have to look more deeply into the news and into the situations that are arising around us.
Yes, so let's talk about that, and let's frame it within the concept of deep veganism, authentic veganism, and holistic veganism. I think for some of our listeners, those might be new terms. Can you please intro with that?
Yes. So deep veganism is a term that I coined to try to help us understand the bigger picture, actually, of our entire society, the structural violence that's sort of built in when we're routinely and relentlessly imprisoning and abusing and killing billions of animals sort of behind the curtain. We don't really talk about it. And yet they're saran wrapped and sitting in the grocery store and we're eating them and we're talking about how wonderful our life is and so forth. And yet we have cows and pigs and chickens and fishes and other animals who are being horribly abused, but we don't make that connection. And so deep veganism is not only understanding that, but looking into the sociological and anthropological and historical and psychological and even the spiritual dimensions of this, and how our violence towards animals reverberates through all of our cultural institutions, into our educational institutions, into science and medicine, into government and economics and politics, and into the family, and that everything that it touches, unfortunately, is harmful. It harms our natural ability to make connections, which is our intelligence. It harms our empathetic abilities to feel into and connect with others. It harms our self-respect, because when we look really deeply into the mirror of our life, we see that our physical body in many ways is made up of an enormous amount of suffering and violence that is completely unnecessary. You know, I've been a vegan, started back in 1980, and I'm not the only one. There's literally millions of people like me and like you, Marlene, also, who are not eating animal-based foods, no meat, dairy products, or eggs. So that's the wonderful good news, essentially, is that we've all been given this gift of a physical body that does not require any animals to suffer or to be imprisoned or sexually abused and have their babies stolen and all this horror. It's completely unnecessary. So it's a war against animals. And to really understand this, we have to see that the society that imprisons animals, and we're born into that society, also imprisons us in mental prisons and puts blinders on us so that we don't see reality clearly. These blinders are slapped on when we're just little infants and we're watching our parents fix turkey and veal and chicken and beef and so forth, and they eat it and they pay for it and they teach us that we should do the same thing and harden our hearts to the suffering of other beings, to the destruction of ecosystems, to the starvation of people who could eat the grain that these animals are eating. There's a whole myriad of devastating implications of animal agriculture in terms of starvation and the abuse of workers who have to stab animals all day. There's a whole network of radiating violence that goes out into our entire society that causes suffering to the vulnerable. So the wonderful good news is that we can make an effort to understand the deep veganism approach and realize that it's not necessary for us to take out our wallets and pay for violence and misery and toxicity, which really causes us diabetes and obesity and heart disease and liver disease and kidney disease and cancer and all these things. We can reduce our risk of those. We can be part of the solution to the problems in the world. And what we see happening now in the last couple of years, especially as is predicted in deep veganism, which is focused on the idea that the outer world and the inner world reflect each other. And so we have this inner world where we dominate and exploit other beings and don't care about them and turn them into livestock. And we find that boomeranging back on us as now we find ourselves more and more being treated as livestock. We find our basic freedoms of speech, of assembly, of bodily autonomy, all being taken away. And so I'm really very concerned that the inability of most human beings right now to stop eating animal foods and to question the violence towards animals has led us now to the very brink of the same thing happening to us that we've inflicted on them. The war against animals that we are inflicting on them is now right at our doorstep. And we see it's very important for us to open up our eyes and see that if we are going to insist on medically abusing millions of animals like we do and force medicating them and tracking them like we do, millions of animals, billions of animals actually, that we're sowing the seeds for the same thing to happen to us. And to rouse ourselves and reconnect with our basic intelligence and our yearning to be agents of life and health and freedom for our, not only for ourselves, but for our children. You know, we live in Massachusetts, and which is, 200 years ago when we had the revolution, actually it's almost 300 years ago now, it was taking off. I was born and raised in Concord, Massachusetts, and the whole idea was that we stand up for freedom for ourselves and for our children, and we don't allow some forces that are outside of us to dictate our lives and destroy the possibilities that we have for living our lives in a way that's authentic and meaningful and to grow spiritually. Because without freedom to read and to communicate and to think and to assemble and so forth, we're reduced to the status of livestock, and that's not a human life. And once we get into that position, it can be very difficult to get out of it. Look at cows and pigs; they've been enslaved now for 10,000 years. Once it could happen, it could be a long time. So it's very important right now that we not allow this to happen.
Yes, and it's so obvious on all fronts, everywhere, and it makes sense to me, like what you just described, the violence and the tyranny and the suffering and the trauma that billions and trillions of animals are experiencing in both animal agriculture as well as the laboratories, the pharmaceutical, chemical, biomedical, scientific, and military laboratories.
That's a really good point. You know, a lot of people think that the main enemy that animals have is the meat, dairy, and egg industry. And my research over the last 40 years has shown no. It's really the pharmaceutical industry especially. They make massive profits not only on over 10,000 different drugs and hormones, antibiotics and chemicals that they've developed to be used on animals that are imprisoned for meat, dairy products, and eggs, but also on people who eat those toxic foods and get sick. So the pharmaceutical industry now has pretty much, as you know, I think everybody knows this, captured the mainstream media. And so the mainstream media is giving us a very perverted view of reality that's based on maximizing fear of germs. And of course, when we're afraid of animals and we're afraid of life and we're afraid of nature, because we're eating so much meat and causing so much suffering to animals, then of course we're going to be afraid of germs. And yet we are made up of germs, right? We're made up of bacteria and viruses. They're very beneficial. That we live in a essentially very benevolent world. The natural world is beautiful and abundant and benevolent, and yet we have systems in place to make us afraid so that we give up our freedom and allow ourselves to have more and more toxic chemicals spewed into our air, our water, our food, and injected into us, into our bodies through hypodermic needles. I mean, this is all a massive injection of toxic substances into our lives. That's what makes people sick. So we have to understand that if we want to be healthy, we need to connect again with nature and connect with our true nature and question these large corporations, which are really controlled by a tiny handful of people who have power and wealth only because we don't question them and we allow this to happen. And I think it's possible for a tiny minority to rule and dominate and exploit billions of people the same way it's possible for a few human beings to dominate and exploit millions of animals. If the animals are docile and just allow whatever the few people do to them, then that's what will happen. And we need to really understand the importance of refusing to comply with tyranny and refusing to comply with narratives and agendas that have at their core a goal of enslaving humanity.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle. Welcome back from the break. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're joined by Dr. Will Tuttle via Skype in Northern California. Thanks again, Dr. Tuttle, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene, and thank you, everyone, for listening in.
This is so important, this topic that we're discussing with deep veganism and the global crisis. And so, Dr. Tuttle, can you please tell us how the principles and the practice within the World Peace Diet can truly help prevent nuclear war and also the transhumanist agenda?
Right. Well, you know, those are two things that are looming right now, actually, and in a way much sooner than I think we had thought. You know, I remember back in the 1980s when we were quite concerned about nuclear war, when there was a lot of saber rattling between the United States and the Soviet Union, and people were working hard to try to cool things down and stop nuclear war, and there were so many protests. I took part myself in demonstrations against the possibility of nuclear war, because if we have a nuclear exchange in Russia now, in the United States, of course, as well as China, Israel, France, Britain, a number of countries have nuclear weapons. And we're at a situation now with this Ukraine situation where here we are, kind of poking the bear in the eye and at a great risk, you know, and tremendous expense. You know, we have in the United States a situation where we really need to help people and to rebuild our infrastructure, and yet we're spending billions of dollars on a war and increasing the likelihood of a nuclear conflagration, which could take many forms. It could be an EMP, which is an electromagnetic pulse, and that would be devastating. You know, if Russia just decided to explode a nuclear weapon in the atmosphere, it would send out a pulse that would knock out the power systems and the grid and computer systems and so forth, which would cause tremendous suffering and the death of probably millions of people with no possibility for food for quite a few weeks or months. So there's many ways this could play out if we continue to increase violence, fear, and conflict in the world. You know, these things have consequences, and so we have to understand how this is connected directly to the underlying mentality of animal agriculture. We have a whole society that has at its core the oppression and domination of billions of animals and seeing them as mere objects to be used and not caring about them and their welfare. And we're eating that, and we're feeding that to our children on a massive scale. And then we, through doing that for 10,000 years, we create very hierarchical authoritarian systems of power like we have over animals. And we have the same thing reflected in our governmental systems. And so now we have at the very top, unfortunately, of our governmental systems, we have people who are ruthless. And in many ways, I have lost their sanity and are using the power and the money, the funds that come from the people to do things that are attacking the earth, attacking our society, attacking children, attacking peace, because there's a tremendous amount of money and power to be consolidated when you do that. And I think the same thing is true for information, and we have to take responsibility for the information that we're getting. And that's why I so appreciate what you're doing, Marlene, with your radio show, to help people get an alternative point of view. We have to take responsibility for the quality of our relationships, the relationships that we have with the people in our lives are respectful and kind and loving. And the same thing is true for us in our civic duties, to be informed about what's actually happening. We've lost our way in terms of the media and the information that we get. We're actually allowing the same forces that control the media and the government and the large corporations and the large holding companies like BlackRock and State Street and these huge financial holding companies that control the media and the pharmaceutical industries and so forth. They control the banks as well. So we have to realize that this is the situation that we're facing, and we don't know what they are thinking, really, but there's a lot of evidence that they think there's too many human beings on the planet right now. There's a lot of effort, it seems, to just reduce the population. It's very clear that there are what are called DUMs, which are deep underground military bases, which are places where people can be safe in any kind of a nuclear conflict, which could lead to a nuclear winter. There might not be any life on Earth surviving, or very few people would survive a nuclear winter. For example, if you have 2 or 3 years of no sun after a nuclear exchange, unless you're in an underground facility. And who has the money to have underground facilities? It's only a wealthy elite that has. They all have their underground facilities where they can be safe. But most people don't have that for themselves. So we have to realize that it's not in our best interest to allow our funds and our power to go to people who either want to reduce the population and sort of like we do with livestock, cull the herd, you know, reduce the amount to make it easier, or who, as you mentioned, see us basically as flawed. There's a strong eugenics movement. It's been going on for years, for decades, for centuries, really. And it's very well known, of course, that Bill Gates and Bill Gates' father was a eugenicist, and a lot of the power brokers are eugenists. And I think they look at human beings as flawed, and that we would be better off to be a transhumanist world, a world where artificial intelligence is taking things over, and so we don't really need humans anymore. We can run everything with robots. We can give the few people that are left over, we can give them guaranteed income. But there's quite a bit of evidence, and they don't really hide it. The World Economic Forum, for example, and the Great Reset, they talk quite openly about the fact that the world would be a much better place if the people didn't own anything, and if there were fewer human beings, and if artificial intelligence was running everything. So the phasing out of human beings is really, to me, a satanic very dark agenda, and yet it's portrayed in the media as something positive. And again, I think it's essential for us to realize that we human beings are not flawed. We are beautiful, magnificent beings. The problem is we've been born into a society where we've been brainwashed, unfortunately, from the time we're little infants to eat animal foods. And that, unfortunately, brings out the worst in us. It makes us ashamed of ourselves. We commit huge amounts of violence when we go to the grocery store and the restaurant and we buy meat, dairy products and eggs. We cause all these animals to be slaughtered. And we eat misery and terror and fear and pain and despair. And out of that, we're drawn to and fascinated with violence and violent films and violent music and wars and so forth. But that's not our true nature. It's just something that has developed, like I say, in the World Peace Diet over the last 10,000 years of animal agriculture, and our whole species, in a sense, has been brought away from our true nature. So it's now critical that we wake up out of this trance and give freedom to animals. Let animals be free and let them live their lives. Return them their sovereignty. That's the only way we'll be able to get our sovereignty back. And once we do that, we'll wake up out of this trance, and we'll be able to see very clearly that there are forces that are treating us the same way we've been treating animals, as mere commodities. And I've been saying this for years. You know, we're genetically engineering animals now. We're trying to dumb them down genetically. We have to understand that, you know, if we're going to sow those seeds in millions of animals and create a whole so-called science to dumb down animals and make them more easily exploitable, then we're going to see the same thing happening to us. And I can see it very clearly. My PhD is in education, and I focused on intelligence. And our whole educational system is based on forcing and compelling students to obey authority and to move away from really critically thinking and connecting with their inner wisdom and the inner beauty and creativity that they have. That's their true nature. All of our institutions work in that way. Our media, of course, dumbs us down. So the whole idea is that we have to take responsibility for our consciousness and for the ripples that radiate from our life out into the infinite web of relations, and do the best we can that the ripples that radiate from our life are ripples that bring peace and freedom to other living beings, to animals and to other human beings. And we can each do that. And I think the main way is to meditate and understand these things, do the research, and then talk about it like we're doing right now, and share these ideas with other people, and realize that we do have the power to create a beautiful world of harmony and peace on this abundant and beautiful earth. We just have to take the power back and not give our consent to being culled or to being having our body be pierced by toxic chemicals, or to have our mind be pierced by toxic information. You know, we just have to make the effort to guard ourselves, we used to say in the hippie days, guard our gourd, you know, guard your head, you know, be aware of what you're allowing in, and protect the children, you know, protect the vulnerable. This is really critical right now. Protect the animals and future generations, ecosystems. And it's a wonderful time to be alive. This is the time when we can finally see very clearly the delineation between the light and the dark, and between a way of kindness and love and respect and caring in a way that goes into a mechanistic, materialistic destruction of life and the destruction of the sacred feminine dimension of life. That's really what's at stake here, is the sacred feminine dimension of life, which yearns to love and nurture and celebrate life, and how that's being repressed in us, and to not allow that to happen, to stand up like mothers do, you know, stand up to protect the children and question the violent materialistic energy of animal agriculture, which now pervades all our institutions. So thank you very much, Marlene, for this opportunity to discuss the war that we've been conducting against animals and how it's coming back to us now.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. And I'd also like to hear some of the information about Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen and some of your videos with your food forest.
Yeah, well, we do. If you go to worldpeacedie.com and click on videos, we have a whole series of videos in Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen. My wife, Madeline, who's a visionary artist from Switzerland and also a wonderful chef, which I'm able to definitely attest to myself. And there's many different types of dishes that she teaches how to make that are very nutritious and delicious. And also we have a garden here, a food forest, which is really doing very well in Northern California. We've got a fruit and nut trees and many different bushes of berries and herbs and vegetables and so forth. Right now we're putting in these two new potato towers. Potatoes are really important because you get a lot of starch from potatoes. And so potatoes, sweet potatoes and squashes, as well as vegetables and greens and herbs and berries and fruits and so forth.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, a vegan for over 40 years and the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You can learn more of Dr. Tuttle and his work at willtuttle.com and also worldpeacediet.com. And much thanks for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. The views do not represent the station.
Better reconsider what you're putting on your table. Better reconsider what you're putting on your table.
And this is Animal Rap by Susan Dietrich.
First you torture, then you rape us, and you drag away our babies. How cruel can you be? How heartless, how crazy. You sell us into slavery so you can suck our milk, draining us dry while we're forced to live in filth. You suck out our secretions till blood flows in the gutters from the cold, cruel steel fastened to our tender udders, injecting us with drugs to suppress the inflammation. Do you not see the parallel to women's subjugation? Do you not see the parallel to women's subjugation?
Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. Please join us again next week. Hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.
Hey, human beings, you're as mad as a hatter, spilling our blood like our lives don't even matter. All creatures want to live just like you and those you love. Can you treat us like we're less than dirt that you are far above? What kind of karma do you think this will enable? Karma from a grim brother's dark and evil fable. Better reconsider what you're putting on your table. Better reconsider who you're putting on your table.